Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
So I got to get this out of the way right now. My name is Joe Brown. The last time I was here, I didn't say that. And so I was harassed immensely about that. So my name is Joe Brown. That is my real name. I come from a very original family. There was my dad, James, my mom, Julie, my brother, Jim, me, Joe, my sister, Joyce, and our dog, Charlie. So we were never sure about the dog. So this is my second time speaking here, and I'm an elder here, and I also attend the church with my family, and it's just great to be here again. And I was excited to be here. I wasn't sure how many people. I thought maybe 30, because Rob announced last week that he wasn't going to be here, and usually when that happens, that's the time for everyone to, they don't have to go to church. It's like permission. The pastor's not there, right? So I thought anyone that would be here today would either have not been here last week and didn't know Rob wasn't going to be here. Either that, or they were a visitor, or they were curious who was going to be here. But I think we did a little more than that this week. So thank you for being here. Brian had asked me if I wanted to do that commissioning, and I gracefully said no. The only commissioning I know is when they hit a ship with a bottle, and I really didn't think that was going to go over very well. So I'm glad that went over well for them, and we're excited for them. Today we're going to talk about, or in, John. So is anyone sick of John? No. Good, I'm glad no one raised their hand. But sometimes we get to a point where we're like, you know, let's move on. I want to move on to something else. I'm tired of this. There's other things in the Bible. But, you know, really when we get into the Scripture is so important and so wonderful and beautiful. It doesn't matter where you are in the Scripture. Once you actually get past the, is it Matthew, is it Mark, is it Luke, is it John, you're really into the actual Scripture itself. It doesn't really matter what the title, what the book is, right? And I've really fallen in love with John, and I really don't think we could stay in John for the next 100 years. It wouldn't matter if we're getting good, solid things out of it, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through that. I used to travel quite a bit across the United States. I've been to almost every large city in our country. And I used to get all, you know, excited. I like the big city for a short time. Then I want to come home to the country where I live. And I'd go to the big city, and it was all exciting. And then it hit me. I think I was in either Philadelphia or New York City. I forget where I was. And it hit me that, you know what? Every big city is only as big as the block that you're on. It really doesn't, it's no bigger than that. And that's kind of where we are with the Scripture, you know? It doesn't matter what book you're in. It's really only as big as that one verse or that one chapter that you're in. So we're gonna jump into John 5, 1 through 9 today. And I named it Get Up and Walk, is what I named it. But the actual headline is The Healing at the Pool. The Healing at the Pool. And this is going to be a story of freedom, a story of healing, a story of faith, and a story of action. So it's a cool story. I'm new to the New Testament in a lot of ways. I was raised a pretty hardcore Baptist. I'm still recovering from that. If anyone else is, there might be a group we could get together on that. But we were very Old Testament and Revelations. Revelations was the only valid book in the New Testament because it was all about the end of times. But you know, otherwise the Old Testament was what we dealt in, and so the faith and the action there was usually someone getting killed. You know, it was always something like that. So the New Testament's very interesting for me, and I've really grown. They say you can't teach old dogs new tricks, but I don't think that's necessarily true. Why you got to bring up Charlie? All right, okay, Charlie. So we're going to talk about this scripture, but before we do that, I do want to pray. So if you could join me in prayer, I would very much appreciate that. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we've had. Thank you for this awesome time that you've given me the privilege and the honor to come here and talk to my friends. I pray that you'll give me the words to speak that you want me to speak, that I won't say anything you don't want me to say, and that you'll open up the ears to everyone to hear and hear what you want them to hear, whatever that is. Father, I pray that you will bless the links as they are out being refreshed that they are spending time just rejuvenating, and that as a family they will grow stronger and closer together. And then when Rob comes back, he can just hit it hard and just bless us with a renewed spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture. The way I like to do this is I like to read through the entire scripture so that we have continuity through the whole thing, and then I'll go back to it and we'll break it down little by little. That's just how I like to function, and since I'm up here, that's how we're going to do it. So it's not a power thing. Going to slice it up. All right. And since we're talking about healing, sometimes healing comes in many different ways. Sometimes it's compensation. So the healing at the pool, or get up and walk as I call it. The healing at the pool, and this is John 5. Oh, there it is. Okay, so you can read along. You can read along up top. You can get your little electronic swipey thing if you want to do that. But sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. Pretty interesting story. And if you just read that story, that's an interesting story. My issue when I read scriptures a lot of times is I read it, and then I'm looking to get to the next scripture. That's just how I function. I read a lot. I'll read 2-3 books at a time. But I'm always wanting to get to the end to figure out either what's happening or because I got another book I want to read. So for me, it's very much I have to stop myself and think through, what does this mean? Well, there has to be more to this than just reading it through and like, that was a cool story, move on. Okay, so we're going to do that. We're going to read a cool story. Now we're going to break it down. So 1-3 says, sometime later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which is in Aramaic called Bethesda, which is House of Mercy, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades or porches. Here is a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. So as a faithful Jew, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Jesus wasn't living in Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem. He went to church. That's where he went. But did he stay in church? Mm-mm. He went to this pool. Why did he go to this pool? Because there was a bunch of lame and disabled and paralyzed and hurting people. What do we call that? What do we say? The least. And that's where Jesus went. He didn't stay in the church building. Great example of what Jesus did. Yeah, I went to church. I'm a good Jewish man. I went to church. I did the church thing. But my real ministry was at a pool where the hurting, the struggling were. That's where I went. He took the church to the hurting people. He didn't go there and say, "Hey, you should come to church with me. There's this great festival. Come on. Come on. Come on. We got hamburgers. We got all kinds of great stuff. We got kosher hot dogs. We got..." No. He went there and said, "I'm coming to you," which is how we should be, right? We should go to those that are in hurt. There were hundreds of people waiting at the pool for healing, but when Jesus came, not one of them looked to him for that healing. Not one of them did. Here comes Jesus to the pool, and all these people who want to be healed, and yet they continue to look to the pool as their source of healing instead of looking to Jesus as the one that could heal them. Why would that be? Could be because they didn't understand the power of Jesus. Could be because they were so wrapped up in the fact that they had spent so many years thinking that that was the only way, that this place had some magic to it, this place had some power to it, that how could this person come and overpower the power that they thought was in this place. Do we sometimes do the same thing? How many of you have ever come to church thinking, this is the place? This is the place of my healing. If I'm in church, I feel good in church. There's nowhere, when I'm not in church, I don't want to be anywhere else because church is where I feel safe. Church is where I feel protected. Church is where people like me, like-minded people are. I've known a lot of people, friends of mine, who always, their focus was, I want to work at a church. That's my goal. Woo, I want to work at a church. And they get a job at a church and they go, this is not what I thought it was going to be. It's like a business. Like they don't just sit around and pray and read the Bible all the time. There's toilets to be cleaned. There's driveways to be shoveled. There's bills to be paid. But sometimes we do that. Sometimes we say, this is where I'm safe. Or this thing makes me feel safe. So is there somewhere we go in hopes of healing, for protection, where we don't feel out of place or judged? Is it something that we do or a behavior that comforts us? Is there something we're afraid to let go? Is it a place or a thing that allows us to stay comfortable, that doesn't challenge us? Is it? This guy, 38 years, he was in a place that he felt comfortable. He didn't try anything else. He just kept going there. He felt safe there. He was with like people. Everyone else was just like him. He was safe there. He was safe from the elements. He was safe because in numbers, there were people just like him. There were no risk. He just stayed right there. So Jesus said, or the Bible says in 5:6, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. He asked him, do you want to get well? So, 38 years. I hurt my shoulder 38 days ago, approximately. I've been miserable. Ask my wife. I complain constantly. Like I could, the only comfortable position I had was this for 2 weeks. And that's how I just walked around like that. And I couldn't sleep. And I've tried everything. I've gone to the ortho doctor, the regular doctor, the chiropractor. I mean, I've tried everything. It's been unbelievable. The only benefit out of it is my wife's been mowing the yard. She's been doing. But it's coming. I know there's payback coming on that. But she's been awesome. But like right now, if someone said, do you want to be healed? I'd be like, yeah, right now. Right now. Right now. You know, I mean, it's just been miserable, right? So that's what Jesus said, 38 years. Do you want to get well? Stupid question, you think, right? Stupid question. Jesus cares about every single person. He knows all of our needs. He went there to that pool. There were hundreds of people. He picked out one single person and said, do you want to be healed? He still does that. He still cares about one individual person. This entire group, he would come to every one of us, individual, single, and ask us, do you want to be healed? Is there something you want? Is there something you need? That's incredible that he cares about one single person. Sometimes he calls us out and asks us something, a question that seems like an obvious answer, right? Yeah, I want to be healed. Duh, right? But sometimes we may be holding on to something, not wanting to let it go, or afraid to let it go, or afraid to change. So Rob. You know, Rob's 6'7", whatever, and he thought he was getting overweight, right? And so what did he do? He lost a bunch of weight, and he looks great now. He did something about it. I'm not happy with my weight. Like, I get out of the shower, like, I don't even look at the mirror. Like, I just, it bothers me, right? And so I'm like, I want to lose weight. You know, I want to look like I did 20 years ago. I have this desire. Sometimes I even pray about it. Like, God, help me lose weight, you know? And I say that to my wife. I'm like, honey, I want to lose weight. I don't want to get out of breath coming up the stairs. And you know what she says? What are you going to do about it? You know what I say? Nothing. Because that's a reality, because I just can't take it to that next step. I mean, so you think it's, you want something, you want to change something, but what are you going to do about it? It's easy to say, I want to look like that, you know? I want that beach body back, you know? That's not funny. But you got to do something, right? And sometimes you have to have an accountability partner. My wife is my accountability partner. But now, I mean, she's heard it so much, you know, she doesn't even look up from her phone. She's just like, what are you going to do about it? And nothing. Nothing. So Jesus asked, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do you want to get well? What's the guy say? Sir. Sir. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Now, the water is stirred. You may wonder what that is. In verse 4, a lot of the scriptures versions don't have it. But it talks about there's a legend that an angel would come down and stir the water. And when the water was stirred in the pool, that everyone tried to run down into the water. And the first one down there was healed. So that's what why they were always waiting at the pool, right? He said, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else gets down there ahead of me. The man didn't answer yes. It was a simple question. Do you want to be healed? You know, here's the thing. Been a lot of time. I tried. It's not my fault. There's no one there to help me. Pastor doesn't preach real good. And people, that prayer they prayed over me, I don't think they were right with God. That didn't work, you know. I mean, do you want to be healed? You know, so here's what happened. Or you don't understand. He didn't answer yes. He gave his whys. I tried. Are we, and I'm not going to say you, I'm going to say are we waiting on someone else? Are we waiting on the right time? Are we waiting on something to change? Are we? When are we going to make that move? When am I going to make that move? So for me, for losing the weight, every year it becomes less important. Because in a couple weeks, I'm going to be 52. Come on. Right? I mean, I'm 52. I'm a grandpa. I say this in all loving kindness. My wife has low standards in me, you know. So she's just, because my personality is so great, she's just like, right? So what is it that's keeping us from doing something? Is it something else? Are we waiting for the right time? Do we want to serve in the community? Like someday, when I'm not so busy, I'm going to volunteer. Really? Why not now? Someday, when I have a better job, I'm going to give more money to the homeless. Really? Really? Because then everything's going to be better then? Someday, or when someone comes into my life and I'm not single, then I'll be happy. Or someday when I have a better job. Or someday, really? Is our healing and our freedom relying upon somebody or something or some time? Or does Jesus just say, you want to be healed? You want to be free? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? Just think about this, too. There were hundreds of people around there, not just that man. They were all there for the same reason, and no one was helping each other. No one's helping each other. They were all poking and elbowing to get down there when the water stirred. And they were all hoping for someone or something to come along and make things better at that time. But no one helped each other. That's kind of sad. So then 8 and 9. Then Jesus said to him, get up. And now there's a couple ways this could go. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Or you could say, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Who has kids? Who has kids? I'm so tired. What do you say? Get up. Get up and clean your room. I'm so tired. Or do you go, get up. Cleaneth thy roometh. No? No. So I don't know. My opinion is Jesus was kind of like, really, dude? He's like, get up, get up, get up, pick up your mat and walk. That's my opinion. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Boom. No more waiting. No more messing around. Pick it up. Pick it up. Get up. Get up. What are you waiting for? Now's the time. Right now. You don't need to wait for that better job. You don't need to wait for more money. You don't have to wait for that person. You don't have to move somewhere else. You don't have to live in a better place. You don't need a nicer car. You just need to pick up your mat and walk. Boom, done. Jesus spoke to the man and told him what to do to be healed and to be free. He told the man, walk out your faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus spoke it. John 1:1, I used this the last time I spoke. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, was with God, and the word was God. That's Jesus. Jesus spoke. Jesus did this one other time. Jesus had a really good friend named Lazarus. Lazarus died. Jesus wasn't in town. Everyone was like, Jesus, you let him die. You let your friend die. Jesus was like, it's fine. It'll be good. Jesus walked to the tomb days later. Tomb was closed. There's a dead guy in there. And you know what Jesus said? Lazarus, come out. And he said it in a loud voice. Lazarus got up and came out. Like, wow, I had some weird dreams, right? Why do you think he said it loud? Lazarus, come out. I don't think he did it for Lazarus' sake. Lazarus was dead, right? He could have been like, Lazarus, psst, come on out. He said it loud so everyone around could hear that he spoke a word and said, take some action, step up, walk out. Jesus didn't roll the stone aside, go in there, unwrap him, and drag him out by his foot. He said, Lazarus, come on out. He had to take some responsibility. He had to put action to that. And Jesus healed this man at the pool who sat there for 38 years at a pool staring at the water, waiting for it to bubble up, trying to get into it. He healed him at that pool without that man ever touching the water that the man thought was going to heal him for 38 years. Why would he do that? Jesus could have said, step into the water, and when you come out, you'll be healed. He didn't. He said, get up and walk. Take up your mat and walk. Why did he do that? Because it set an example that everyone that's standing there around that pool, laying around that pool, the water wasn't the answer. The place wasn't the answer. That wasn't the answer. The answer was, put your faith in Jesus and put action to your faith and do what he said. The water had nothing to do with it. How do you think they all felt when they were all the hundreds saw this guy that had been there for 38 years hanging with them, and all of a sudden he got up and went, look at Bob! Look at Bob! He didn't even touch the water. What is that? It had to blow their mind. How do you deal with that? When something that you believe is always true all of a sudden proves it isn't, and Bob's all walking. I'd be like, hey, dude, with the beard. Yeah, you. Come here, right? You're going to want to follow that. Because now you see some truth in that. You saw something in action that came true. Instead of 38 years, I've been watching this water, nothing happens. This guy comes here from a festival and tells Bob, get up and walk, and he does. There's a difference. Jesus showed us that faith is not talk. Faith takes action. James 2:17 says that in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is what? Does anyone know? It's dead. Not sick. Not weak. Dead. Dead. You ever see roadkill on the side of the road? Dead. Dead is dead. It's dead. It ain't coming back. It's gone. It takes action. Your faith takes action. It takes action. So I'll tell you a story about me, my faith in action. So I started smoking. I was about 15. Smoked Camels because I thought that was cool. Smoked Camels about 15. Smoked for well over two decades. Met the Lord. You know, started going to church. Became an usher. You know, smoked a cigarette before I got in to take everyone's money. You know, that whole thing. Take some breath mints real quick, you know. And I had this conviction that, like, I need to quit smoking. You know, I'm not saying it's a sin, but it just, for me, it was, my decision was I need to stop doing this. I prayed about it. I thought about it, and I struggled with it, and I wanted to quit. And then one day I was driving down the road with my youngest son, and I said, hey, I got to pull in and grab a pack of smokes. And he said, well, why don't you just quit? And I said, okay, I will. And he said, you can't do that. And I went, you want to bet? And I haven't smoked in 13 years now. Right? So I still pray about it. But what did that take? I could have done that for years, prayed about it, thought about it, chewed Nicorette, you know, put on patches, all these things. But I just stepped out. At that point, it was Jesus told me, just pick up your mat and walk. My mat, the thing that had kept me stuck right here, was cigarettes. That was my mat. For 20-some years, that was my mat. I got plenty of other mats, all right? But that was that mat. I'm stuck right there. Jesus said, pick it up and walk. Pick it up and walk. Instead of that thing carrying me, it was time for me to pick it up and carry it, walk away. It's called empowerment, personal empowerment. I'm not saying cigarettes, you know, some of you might say, wow, I got a lot of things harder than that. Yeah, sure you do, you know. It might be a relationship. It might be an addiction other than the nicotine. It might be a mindset. I don't know what your mat is, but we all got them. We all got them. Jesus told the man to take up his mat. He was making a point. He wanted the man to take up the thing that had anchored him in that static position, pick it up, and take control of it. Now, if I'd been after 38 years healed, that mat probably stank, right? I mean, 38 years, you're on that mat. It would have went in the pool. It would have bubbled then, I'll tell you that, right? But Jesus said, no, take it up. Take it up, because that mat represents the things that have been holding you down or the things that have been held you to, the thing that you have been anchored to. So he had a point to that. He said, pick it up, take control of that. So it's not just the act of faith, of stepping up and saying, I'm going to stand and I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to take that thing with me. I'm taking control of it. Jesus wants us to take control of that thing that we're struggling with. He wants us to take control of it. Jesus is all about us having control. What is the mat that you need to take up? What is it you need to walk away with? Are you stuck on a mat, stuck in one spot? What's keeping you from moving forward? Is it time to pick up that mat? Could be anything. Could be anything. It doesn't have to be an addiction. It can be a way of thinking. It could be a mindset. You know, I spent many, many years before I got, as I talked born again a few weeks ago, before I got born again, I had a very, very cynical mindset. I didn't like people. I didn't trust people. I didn't love a lot of people. If you were my family, my blood, my child, I loved you. If you were anyone else, I didn't care about you. That's changed. That was a mat that I had to pick up and carry and change and say that I love people. I didn't trust people. I'm very quick to trust now. I'll trust anybody, immediately. That doesn't mean I don't get burned. You know, I understand that. But the risk, the reward is worth that. You know, I've had lots of issues. I still got lots of issues. Ask my wife, you know. Lots of issues. But you work through them. And I'll tell you this, though, that sometimes there is a place and a time when you have to take up that mat. So, like, say the smoking, for instance. If there hadn't been a preparation time of me praying about it, thinking about it, being motivated about it, taking up that mat at that time, maybe it wasn't the time to take up that mat. I believe that there is a season sometimes of leading up. That man spent 38 years having faith that he would be healed, but he had the faith in the wrong thing, but he believed he was going to be healed. And he had that mindset, I am going to be healed. I will be healed. I just don't know how to really go about it. So he had 38 years of believing that he would be healed. He had a faith mindset. He was just missing one component. Well, he's missing Jesus, but he was missing, you just got to step out and do it, right? So don't think that sometimes that component of that time, what feels like you're in the wilderness, or you can be depressed on yourself or down on yourself and be kicking yourself because I'm a failure, I can't do it. That's a time of growing, a time of growth, a time of strengthening, till you get to that point where Jesus comes in after 38 years and says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. I read a great, great quote by Martin Luther King Jr. He's one of my heroes, incredible author. I'd highly recommend you read some of his, more than his speeches, but his writings. Listen to this. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. I love that. I thought, that's pretty incredible. Faith is taking that first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. That's pretty incredible. I love that. So I encourage you to think about the thing in your life that you want to change, the healing that you need, the change that you're wanting. Consider taking action. do it appropriately, you know. I had a good friend of mine, one of my students who passed away recently. He had been an alcoholic for probably 30 years. It was pretty devastating for some of us that worked with him, and he was clean. He gave it all up, and we were proud of him for that. But he maybe didn't do it in the right way. He didn't go through an appropriate detox, and that had some pretty severe physical ramifications for him. So I believe in faith. I believe in God healing you, but I believe in doing things safely and appropriately too. If you're in an active addiction, there are ways God will help you, but there are people to help you through that process too. So please be aware of that. God will walk you through a lot of different things. You got to be safe. You got to do it right. The world can be a dangerous place. Rob said last week, step into your third day. It's way better than your second. And I watched him do it, and he said, you know, you're in your second day. Jesus was in the grave, rose on the third day. By the second day, he was stinking, right? Right? Death, right? Spat. But then he walked in, third day, stepped in his third day, and he was resurrected. Maybe you're in your second day. Maybe you need to step into your third day. Maybe it's time to be resurrected. Maybe it's time to pick up your mat and walk. Walk out your faith. Step into everything God has planned for you. I promise you, it's an amazing, amazing life to live.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.